Kamala Harris was raised by a working mother who instilled in her a passion for justice, equality, and standing up for your community. That's why as district attorney, she pioneered a program to give nonviolent drug offenders a second chance. And as president, Kamala Harris will continue fighting for us. Because rents, groceries, and utility bills are still too high. Harris's plan to fix it? Build more homes to lower prices and make the wealthy and billionaires pay their fair share in taxes. As president, Kamala Harris will always have our backs.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this fourth day of October 2024. And tonight at the helm, our producer is none other than Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing? Great to be here.
We're hanging in and ready to go. In the studio here, almost live, we have Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
She gets to stay in here tonight. All right. Are you happy?
Yes.
She's happy. All right. And right here next to her, he's happy too. Aaron Ganias.
Hello, Pastor.
We're ready to roll. And then we out yonder, we have the legend himself. Well, they call him, what do they call him? Big John McTurnan.
You're speechless, Pastor Ernie, when it comes to me. But God bless you, all our listeners, and let's have a great show full of tremendous information that everybody needs to hear. Amen?
We'll do that, but let's do this. Let's start out with praying for the folks there down in North Carolina, all the victims of Helene, because we're fighting two battles. They're fighting nature and they're fighting the deep state. And so we got to run to their aid, to run to this battle. So would you open us in prayer for them?
Yes. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're praying for mercy, Lord, for what happened there. And it's not only in North Carolina, but primarily in North Carolina. Lord, the evil of our government is on display here, Lord. I'm asking that we could do an end run around the government and privately we could help the people. Lord, get them, some are still trapped, that they be freed. And Lord, I pray that this evil from our government would be fully exposed and it will be reckoned with on Election Day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen.
It's just unbelievable. We'll get into more of that later, but let's get right into the scripture. And I'm going to read you the title of the message, but the title is also something else. It's also a definition of a word. And I'll read it, and then you tell me what the word is. Ready? God's plan for the eternal salvation for those who choose him. What is the word?
Predestination.
All righty, there you go. You got it, predestination. And that was the title of the message. And we've been going all through Scripture talking about predestination. And we're going to pick it up where we left off in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. So would you read verse 7 through 9, Joe?
Joe's not here.
No, did John. I say Joe? I meant John.
John.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I was waiting for, Pastor Ernie. Galatians 3, 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
All right, so when we often think of Abraham, you know, we think of the father of the Jews, but Abraham was the father of the nations. He was the father of all of those that put their faith in God, huh?
That's correct, Pastor Ernie, the Jew and the Gentile.
Absolutely. And so he was not merely the ancestor father. Of course, we know that of Israel, but of all that they believe. And then so here, when we take a look at the predestination here, we see that God's original promise to Abraham, quoted here from Genesis 12:3. Do you remember what it said in Genesis 12:3? All those nations that will be a blessing, all those peoples that are a blessing to Israel, God would what?
Bless.
Okay. Those that would be a curse, God would curse, right?
Yes.
Now, here today, boy, you've got a really growing anti-Israel sentiment throughout the world today. And we don't want to pretend like we think that Israel is such a great nation. They're a very rebellious and a very stiff-necked nation, just like America. And that's exactly what God's Word, the Bible, said they would be. I mean, John, I'm amazed at the biblical literacy of people today. God literally spelled it out. He literally spelled it out for us so that we would see this. So we know that over the last 6,000 years, God has given us, in this letter he wrote to us, this book of operation manual called God's Word, the King James Bible. He tells us exactly what the future holds, and we're seeing that unfolding before us just exactly the way God said it would be, except for the vast majority of the people in this country, they're looking everywhere for the answers except for where the answers are. And I don't know. So here now, when we take a look at this, his original promise to Abraham was quoted again from Genesis 12:3. Required the coming, and that required what? The coming of Jesus Christ into the world to redeem the world for its fulfillment. And then the promise, and if we go back to Genesis 3:15, I would say would be one of the oldest prophecies in the scripture. That's 4,000 years old, and that was fulfilled in Christ. And so here was a promise was with a reference to all the nations. And again, when that was made, that was long, long, long before Israel became a nation, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. That was roughly 2000 B.C. And Israel, that was about 500 years or more before Israel became a nation.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, we are controlled by time. I mean, time, we cannot reclaim the start of this program just a few minutes ago. We can't. It's gone forever.
Right.
We may not have to the end of this program tonight. Who knows what lies in store? And so we're controlled by time, but time is controlled by God. Time is what God says it is, isn't it?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, and God is not limited by time at all whatsoever. He's outside of time.
And so let's go over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, would you read verses 28 through 30?
Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
Okay, let me ask you this. The argument, you'll often hear people say that Christ died for everybody. But let me ask you this. Did he die for everybody, or did he die for those who his blood was applied to? Did he apply his blood to everyone, or to those that he predestinated?
To those that repented and believed.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, it's only for those, the blood is only applied to those that, I just heard the word repent and confess Christ as their Savior. That's who the Lord shed blood is applied to.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Has God ever failed at anything? The Pope said, humanly speaking, he failed at Calvary. Has God ever failed at anything?
That's bizarre, Pastor Ernie. I mean, that is... No, God, he can't... He's God, Pastor Ernie. I mean, he created the universe with his great power. No, he can't fail.
So, if God cannot fail, then if he died for everyone, everyone would be saved. But if everyone's not saved, then he didn't die for everyone. But let's read this here, and we'll see, because guess what? It explains very clearly right here, without any stuttering. I don't know where, maybe I'm by myself, you know, but here, look. For whom he did foreknow, those are the people he was dying, he died for, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, he died for those he foreknew. He died for those he did predestinate. He died for those he was conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. So he died for those that he called. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. So now let me ask you this. Did Christ know ahead of time when he predestinated people, did he know who would receive him and who would reject him? And is the basis of predestination, was it on those basis of God's foreknowledge of who would receive him and who would reject him?
Oh, well, I think you, yes, the way you said it was very, was articulated it very, very good.
That explains because, verse 29.
Yeah, the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
So then he knew who would and who would not. Now, did he say, okay, I think I'm going to send you to heaven, I'll send you to hell, I'll send you to heaven, and I'll send you to hell? Or did he give everyone a free will? Is God a totally just God?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Is he a God that's merciful? Will he never punish anyone more than they deserve, and in his mercy often punish them less than they deserve?
Oh, much less, Pastor Ernie, than we deserve, and that's because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so then he wouldn't waste that blood by applying it to people he knew would reject him, right?
No.
Right.
Okay, so then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place, I will come back and bring you into myself. Would he prepare a place for people that he, for, would he prepare a place for all of us? For everybody?
All that believes.
So then he understood right from the beginning, his blood was applied to those he knew would receive him. And so when we say, that when those that say, just like last night, There's a saying that you hear soundbite all the time, and that is that that power is corrupt, and the ultimate power is ultimately corrupt. Okay, power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts ultimately. That's not a true saying, you see, because there's only one ultimate power. I mean, God has said he's the only potentate, okay? That word's used just one time in the Bible, and it's used for God, okay? So if God is the ultimate power, then ultimate power does not corrupt, because God's not corrupt, is he?
Well, I think, Pastor Ernie, that what you're talking about is human power, sinful, fallen human power, not God.
Yeah, but if you mean that, you got to say that, right?
Yeah, it was a British politician that was talking. I just can't think of his name who said that, and it had to do about man's the king and power. That was the context of it. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah, but in reality, there's only one absolute power,
right?
And that is God. And so, but if you would apply that to man, I think there might be an application. Okay, but there is no man that has absolute power. Okay.
Well, it was in reference to the king.
Yeah, I know.
The king of England.
But the king.
Who said that? It's
only quote. Has the power that God grants him. Am I right?
Yeah, that's what the word. That's what the word says.
All righty. So let's go to verse 31.
The Lord told Pilate that.
You would have no power over me had it not be given to you from above.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so.
Now what verse, Pastor Ernie?
That's verse 31 through 39.
Okay, yeah. 31 through 39. All right, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right, well, it says here, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is God for those that are for him?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we know right now that the world hates us as Christians more and more every day in this country. There's a growing hatred for Christians and Jews. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God, remember the whole purpose with Abraham and Isaac? Remember? God was showing something. He was giving a lesson there, right? And it turned out Abraham had a great, great faith because he knew that God's promise was that he was going to raise up seed, a nation through Isaac. And so he knew that. So he knew that if he killed him, he had to bring him back to life. And Abraham had no doubts at all about God's ability, did he?
No, Pastor Ernie. That whole picture in Genesis 22, which you're talking about, is a picture of the Father and the Son. But that is even where the temple was built, on Mount Moriah there. So that is real, real significance about 2,000 years into the future, where Christ was going to come and die.
Hmm. They say that the legend has it that that's what caused Sarah to die, that she had a broken heart. That's what the legend has it. There's no biblical proof of that, but anyhow, so he goes and he says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather he is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Now, I remember hearing a Pentecostal preacher preaching one time, and he was saying that Christ is now set down, so Christ is no longer active. From now here on out, it's the Holy Ghost, that everything is through the Holy Spirit. Well, if Christ was no longer active, if he wasn't interceding for us, would we be in a world of hurt right now?
Yes.
Yeah. Pastor Ernie, the way it works is Christ is our high priest. We see that from Hebrews. And he intercedes for us, and the Holy Spirit moves on the earth here at the direction of the Lord.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's not moving independent. It's the Lord that's controlling everything, seated at the right hand of the Father. So it says in scriptures that he even dispatched. He was going to dispatch the Holy Spirit. Right.
Right. Jesus said he will speak not of himself, but for me, of me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, through him that loved us. Now, listen to this. These are two very, very powerful verses here. For I am persuaded. He takes you to the very realm of death, the very realm of life. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. See, he takes it to the past, present, and the future, does it to the very realm. And in all of that, out there, when he says that there's nothing there that can keep us from the love of Christ, that means there's nothing there that can take away our salvation. Is that not true?
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're justified
on
Christ's righteousness.
Yes.
Well, say, so all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us, okay? So then he takes you to the very realm of the universe. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So that means our salvation is kept in heaven, it's predestinated. We just read that over in Hebrews, so we can't lose our salvation, can we?
Not when we're focused on Jesus Christ and he's our Lord and Savior. No.
Yeah. So there you go. Well, we can't lose our salvation for a very simple reason. We don't keep it. God does. And if we could lose our salvation, we would lose our salvation. Because all it would take is a sin. Is that not true?
Well, in that sense, yes.
Well, I mean, it's absolute. You're a pretty smart fellow, John. We'll be right back.
We sin and don't even know it. I mean, we could be full of pride and all of it. It's by the grace and mercy of God through Christ shed blood on the cross.
That's absolutely right. Let me ask you this. The most precious substance that ever existed would be the blood of Christ. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's the only thing that could give us eternal life. And so...
Right. Everything in this world is under a curse. It's under... When man sinned, not only did we curse of sin come on us, but it came on the universe. The universe is decaying. And when Christ returns, the universe is going to be put back the way it was before man sinned.
So would God waste that precious substance on those that would reject it, the blood of Christ?
Well, when you look at Hebrews chapter 10, it describes what happens to those that mock and reject the shed blood of the Lord. It enrages God. He is enraged by that.
Exactly. Alrighty.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
It's very important when you study or when you're teaching Hebrews 8 that you go to verse 15, because everything follows verse 15 in importance. So verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Daddy, Father." So what you just went through there is because we have a relationship with God as our believers in Christ, as our Abba Father. And you read, we become joint heirs with Christ. Why? Because God's our Father. He's our Abba. We're his children. We're his little children. And it talks about, when you read 18, 19, 20, about the universe is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be renewed. It's amazing. So what you just went over there, that's because of our relationship with God as our Abba Father.
That's what I just said. All right. Hey, listen, we got a very serious topic coming up here now. We're talking about human trafficking. And John, you know who the world's largest human traffickers are in the world?
Yes.
And that's
yes.
The federal government, the deep state.
Yeah, headed by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and...
the mob, the entire Communist Party mob.
Yeah, and his name there, I'm embarrassed to ask you, the Attorney General.
The Attorney General was Merrick Garland.
Garland, there you go. They're the kingpins. That's like Al Capone ahead of Chicago. That, like, gangsters are ahead of the federal government now.
Has Merrick Garland lied under oath time and time and time again?
Oh, my goodness, Pastor Ernie.
Has Mariolka sat there with a smirk on his face and lied under oath? And right now, is Mariolka behind what has taken place, the land grabs and everything that's happening right now out there in North Carolina?
That I don't know, but I wouldn't doubt it. Someone's got to be in charge of what's going on there.
We're going to go. We'll be back right after this. Let's go. We're going to look at some human trafficking. Be right back.
I held these up before Congress and said, "You're witnessing America's new slave trade."
So, Jason, these wristbands, you brought them from the border?
Yeah, these are specifically from Roma, Texas, which sits on the U.S. side just across from a plaza known as Miguel Alemán. It's one of the most violent regions along the southwest border. And the reason for that is because that is ground zero where Cartel de Gafo is in control, also known as CDG, and where the Los Zetas, today known as Cartel de Nareste, are battling for control. But this is also where CDG began putting wristbands on men, women, and children. And what you're seeing here really represents a process. Just as Border Patrol was overwhelmed with the amount of people that began influxing into the country in January and February of 2021, so was the cartels. But Cartel de Gafo and their alien smuggling organization specifically came up with this as a process. And as they were being overwhelmed with people, they began first putting them in stash houses. Once you come into a stash house, the way it works is they get all of your PII data, known as your personal identifying information. Once you give them enough of their family and the country of origin where they come from, along with where they're going in the United States, a payment is agreed upon. When that happens, you see this number right here?
Mm-hmm.
That number goes into their database. And each one of these represent a different alien smuggling organization directly working for Cartel de Gafo. Now, they're the only cartel that does this on the southwest border. But what you're seeing and what you're holding here is America's new slave trade. And I truly mean that, because this represents an adjustment from the smuggling of a person to the trafficking of a person. And what's the difference? If you smuggle someone from point A to point B, there's an agreement made that there you are going to pay that smuggler so much to get you from here to here. Now, as soon as you get here, that agreement's over. You go on your way in the United States or wherever, and they go back to doing what they do. Here it is different, because what the cartels realized is that people are the gift that keeps giving. When I first broke this story, if you were a Mexican citizen, it was $2,500 just to cross the river. And in many areas, the river is as wide as your office here. If you were Central American, it was $3,000. And if you were Chinese, $5,000. And if you were Russian or Middle Eastern, $9,000 just across the Rio Grande River. And then they would put this wristband on you, and this number went into their database. And these, what these represent, these are very important, is they represent what goes on children, because it's hard for your audience to probably really grasp this, but men, women, and children are a commodity to the cartels. They are the gift that keeps giving.
How?
Because you can tell that commodity what to do. You can tell it to cross the river. You can tell it to move drugs. You can tell it to go into sex trafficking. Here's where the real problem is. All of these people are having to pay back a fee. They've been allowed to cross into the United States after they agree upon the amount of money that they're going to pay to the cartels. As soon as they get to the U.S. side, they're crossed via a raft by the Cartel de Gafo. And as soon as they get to the U.S. side, they break that wristband as they're instructed. And these litter the ground by the hundreds of thousands. Then they go and they're turned over to Border Patrol, and they are sent throughout the nation. And with that, a virus of human trafficking, because this is debt bondage. And what's the difference? When you think of human trafficking, most think of commercial sex. You really have three different forms of human trafficking. You have commercial sex, you have forced labor, and what we are talking about, debt bondage, meaning that these people are now in our country. They're here legally, whether we agree with it or not, under the current administration's processes and policies, but yet indebted to a criminal organization who really should be a terrorist organization in a foreign country. We have never been here before.
What kind of debt do they owe them? Financial debt?
Financial debt, correct. All because they crossed a river.
Mm-hmm.
It's a made-up debt.
Are these different businesses, as in different cartels, that have been capitalizing over this open border situation? So each color is a different cartel?
It's a great question. No, each one is a different alien smuggling organization that works under the umbrella of Cartel de Gafo, specifically known as CDG. And the reason you have different colors is so you know where they're crossing and which alien smuggling organization. That right there tells me where they crossed.
How do the cartels then track the people who own them?
There you go. So you see this number?
Okay.
That number goes in the database, and did the paycheck come in? See, in the beginning, and it's a great question, they have always had in our country throughout the nation the logistics for drugs, but they didn't have this. So when these people started crossing in the U.S., they began putting their operatives in with them. And then we sent them all over the country, and yet these people pay back to these operatives in these different cities and counties all over the nation, now repaying the debt.
So
and if
these
they don't
people
pay
memorize it, their numbers?
No, the cartel knows it. It's in their database. And that's how they know when they miss a payment. Now, let's say they don't want to pay, or let's say they don't.
Right,
pay.
Right.
Well, then they have their family and their country of origin to hold accountable, because before they gave them that wristband, they called them and said, "Do you know Jason Jones?" "Oh, you do? How do you know him?" "Really?" Mm-hmm. "And who are you?" "You're his mom. Is this your phone number? What's your address?" They validate everything.
Right. And these people know that. And so they're afraid about their loved ones
back at
home.
That's exactly right. And this is the other problem. So now let's talk about the secondary and third impacts. These people, many of them don't have skill sets. So if you're a woman, you're going to go into commercial sex to repay this debt. If you're a man, most likely you are going to be involved in human smuggling. You're going to be involved in drug trafficking. Whatever you've got to do to pay back this debt so that your loved ones back where you come from and here are not accountable for losing and not paying that debt. I'll tell you a great story. A case out of Houston, Texas. A woman who was 7 months pregnant who had crossed. She was in debt to Cartel de Gafo. She wore one of these wristbands. She was being forced into commercial sex in Houston. Well, she was in pain one day because she's 7 months pregnant, right? So she said, look, I can't come in. I'm in pain. They said, no problem. Your debt is now completely started over. You see, at a whim, they can keep you paying forever. When this gets out and all the American public realizes, and through the natural course of time, this will come out, you are going to see an epidemic of trafficking like this country has never seen. And I will say it again and again, that what you are seeing here on your desk and in my hands, this is America's new slave trade.
Absolutely evil. That's evidence of terrorism.
Feel it. You feel the evil. It is evil. You can see their names written on the back.
This is a little child. A little child.
I have seen that on a 10-day-old child. Wrapped around that little hand 3 and 4 times.
All righty, we're back. You know, what he didn't get into the part was there where the government, that FEMA, pays these NGOs, pays them money. Catholic charities, Lutheran charities, these organizations, they're aiding and abetting the drug dealers and bringing these children in. And, you know, it's unbelievable how corrupt it's gotten, folks. And we've been trying to tell you this for years. Look, it starts in China. John, I sat and listened to high-ranking Chinese government officials talking to a huge crowd of Chinese college students, telling them that they own the highest offices in the United States in the White, meaning we own the Biden crime family. We own them. They're ours. They're on our payroll. And Joe Obama Biden and Kamala and that, they were instructed, you keep the border open, Joe. The media will back you up in whatever lies that you want to tell the people. You can try to tell the people you're doing your best you can, even though they're seeing thousands and millions, the media, no matter what it is, they will tell whatever lie they are told to tell, they will do it. And the echo chamber will open up. And this is why, and again, one of the things that NBC, ABC, CBS, especially CBS lately, CNN, realizing more and more is they've lost all credibility. People simply don't believe them anymore. They just don't, okay? This is why radio programs like this are popping up everywhere. And so here, Joe, bring the fentanyl in. Think about this. 100,000 people died from fentanyl. Bring the fentanyl in. You know, you have, again, they brought in 13,000 known convicted murderers, 13,900 convicted murderers that they emptied prisons of these Central America and other countries, emptied their prisons of convicted murderers, and they're here. They brought them here. 14,000 convicted rapists, okay, they brought them here. Altogether, just under 500,000 convicted criminals, and amongst that, thousands of known terrorists, are here. Biden brought them in here. He brought them in here to destroy this nation. To remember what Obama said, we will have an army,
a civilian army,
and that's what Obama meant. And that's
and
what
he said. It would match. It'd be as powerful as our army. I remember him saying that, Mr. Ernie.
Well, here in Ohio, they're trying to push what they call Issue 1. And it's exactly the opposite of what they're portraying. They are lying unbelievable. And like we tried to warn them before about Issue 1, and people didn't listen. They didn't pay attention last year when they voted the last election on Issue 1. Which take away all of the laws that we passed governing baby killing, just eliminated them because people did not pay attention. And everyone that voted the last time on Issue 1 sinned. They sinned a mighty sin against Almighty God. Anyhow, I said all that to say this. The guy that's behind this Issue 1 is Eric Holder. He's the one that gave the guns to the drug dealers, and they took the guns and they killed American border guards with those guns. Remember Eric Holder?
Oh, yeah.
Fast and Furious.
And yes. There were two brave ATF agents that blew the whistle on this, and everybody denied it. They denied it. They persecuted the two ATF agents. And then one point after another, it was found out it was true. The local U.S. attorney said it was true. Then the local, prosecuting attorney, then the U.S. attorney said it was true. And then it went into Holder. Holder had to say it was true. And they wanted the records. And Obama blocked it and refused. And Holder was held in contempt of Congress and never prosecuted for what he did. So they were sending these guns into Mexico to give to the federal government was doing this to try and destabilize the border to get international pressure on the Second Amendment here in the United States to, you know, basically invalidate the Second Amendment. That was their goal. And they didn't get that far with it because of those two agents, whistleblowers, and they were, I don't know what happened to him, Pastor Ernie. At one point, I mean, they were really severely persecuted for what they did.
Well, right now you've got a number of whistleblowers that were being persecuted, FBI agents that lost their homes, lost their jobs and everything because they told the truth. In fact, right now, for example, we have a woman here that told the truth. She, a very, very, very corrupt judge, sentenced Ms. Peters to 9 years in prison for blowing the whistle. Go ahead, Eric.
This is Aaron. A Gateway Pundit article. Former Mesa County, Colorado clerk and Gold Star mother Tina Peters sentenced to 9 years in latest political persecution. And yet another blatant display of political persecution. Former Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters, 68, a Gold Star mother, has been sentenced to 9 years in prison. After bravely raising questions about election irregularities, Peters was relentlessly pursued by local and federal authorities, culminating in charges that were politically motivated from the outset. Peters' crime, exposing the truth about what happened in the 2020 election. Last month, Tina Peters was found guilty on 7 of 10 charges for preserving critical election data. The Gateway Pundit's Brian Lupo attended the trial. Tina Peters is the election clerk from Mesa County, Colorado. She made a copy of her machine's information before performing the action requested by Griswold.
That was her job. She did her job.
Who demanded that all voting machines, election data should be erased, which is against the law after the 2020 election. Ms. Peters was attacked for her actions. Mesa County District launched a criminal investigation against Peters for allegedly posting election system passwords on the internet. Peters maintains she has nothing to do with the crime she is accused and is being targeted for documenting election fraud in her county. We have a Secretary of State that is drunk with power. She makes emergency decrees, and when we query her, she refuses to answer in violation of the state law, she told the crowd during Mike Lindell's symposium. When I started having citizens come to me and tell me that something didn't seem right in our local city elections from years ago to our 2020 election, I said, if there is a there, we will do something about it. I am a Republican, I am conservative, and she's not, and she weaponizes her position to attack people who disagree with her. I've been persecuted. They are trying to take over our election office. We are the last bastion of freedom in Colorado, the Mesa County. We have listened to people. They send me things from all over, and there are some discrepancies that I cannot deny or unsee. The FBI raided her home instead of investigating her claims. The FBI raided my home at 6 a.m. this morning, accusing me of committing a crime, and they raided the homes of my friends, mostly older women. I was terrified, Peters said on the Lindell Channel, adding the FBI used a battering ram to destroy the front door of one of her friends' homes, according to Colorado Politics. Essentially, there were soldiers in combat gear. They were not men in suits with badges, Peters said. They looked very much like they were in a combat zone, soldiers with automatic weapons and combat gear. In February of 2022, Peter was interrupted at a local restaurant by police and arrested on some garbage charges. In August of 2024, Peters was convicted on 3 counts of attempting to influence a public servant and 1 count of conspiracy to commit criminal impersonation. Additionally, she faced convictions for first-degree official misconduct, violation of duty, and failure to comply with an order from the Secretary of State, each a misdemeanor, according to CPR News. The jury found Peters not guilty on three charges: criminal impersonation, conspiracy to commit criminal impersonation, and identity theft.
All right, that's good. You had here, you know, first of all, this lady was doing her job. She was a whistleblower. You have the deep state. Now, that judge, who was one of the most corrupt judges, what he did, we have a listing there of the different contributions he made, all the Communist Party contributions, where they call him Democrat. This guy was as corrupt gets. These judges are blatant now. They're blatant in their corruption. They don't
Jenna
even try
Griswold.
To hide it. Pardon?
Jenna Griswold. She's the, was she the Secretary of State there?
No, I'm talking about the judge in that case.
Well, the Griswold, she's one of the corrupt, of the most corrupt in the country.
Yeah. But anyhow, I wanted to, but while we're here really quickly, I wanted to make an announcement for, that is for tomorrow, and that is local Fortified Geauga Patriot Potluck. Fortified Geauga is another one of our patriot organizations, like the Tea Party. And one of the things in our county, we do have a large number of patriot organizations, and we're really taking our county back away from the Communist Party and the rhinos that have traded. But anyhow, Fortified Geauga Patriot Potluck, Saturday, October 5th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., at the Clarendon Town Hall, 13930. That's 13930 Mayfield Road. Come and enjoy an informal evening of food and friendship with fellow conservatives as we prepare for the upcoming election. Bring a dish or a beverage to share. Now, I want to say this, too, that we now have all of the signs that we need out there. We were behind in getting our signs to the Republican Party, but we have them now. And they're going out fast and furious. So, folks, the signs are now available. So I'll give you more information on where to pick them up. Actually, maybe I can give you that to you right now. Okay. You can pick them up at on Chardon Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 3 p.m. at the gas station on the corner of Water Street and Washington. There you go. So you can pick up the signs there for the conservative, pro-life, Republican Party candidates. All right. That's that. Now, Big John.
Yes,
Kirby. The deep state, North Carolina, they're stealing people's property. And so on and so forth. First of all, Little Lisa wants to read. We'll let Little Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. This is from the Gateway Pundit also. And concerned Americans are delivering much-needed supplies to suffering flood victims in North Carolina by pack mule as the Biden regime continues to fail in its responsibilities. So there you go.
All right. Now, you know what? Your mic was off.
What? Hello?
It's on now.
Okay, I'll try that again. The Gateway Pundit reports, concerned Americans are delivering much-needed supplies to suffering flood victims by pack mule in North Carolina as the Biden regime continues to fail in its responsibility. So there you go. There they go again.
All right.
Was I on?
Johnny was afraid you were going to say something bad.
Oh, was I on this time? Johnny?
You were on this time.
Okay. Oh, dear.
All right. Now, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, John, we're not going to run that other clip. What we're going to do instead, Big John McTernan, I need you to tell the people more about what is happening there down through North Carolina and Tennessee. There's some mischief taking place. There's land grabs taking place. There's mines. There's a quartz mine, which is the only mine, I think, in the entire country, maybe in the world, that has a particular quartz, a very, very rare quartz that they need. Also, the other...
Lithium?
Lithium. There's two major lithium mines, which are a big source of lithium. There's a lot of bad things happening, and our Mary Orcas and our FEMA, they're actually trying to prevent people from getting aid and food to the people they're supposed to be. Instead, you have a whole lot of civilians that have come in, and civilians using civilian helicopters. I was listening to the reports, and there were about a good count of 29 helicopters in the air, and only three were from FEMA, okay? And so when we come back from the break, I want you to kind of go over that and tell everyone as much as you know about that. So before we get to the break, I want to tell you this very quickly, though. You've been hearing, there's a commercial they're making. It's a totally false commercial. Kamalik and Falls are putting out there. And that's about this woman died because she had to travel because of the Georgia heartbeat law. She had to travel to another state. That is an absolute lie. I'm going to read you the actual truth. No woman didn't die because of the Georgia heartbeat law, as Kamalik Harris and Tim Walz have claimed. They died because of the Kamala Harris-backed policy to issue abortion drugs without any medical oversight at all, a practice that kills children and sends 1 in 25 women, they jumped on my thing here. A deadly practice backed by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And folks, 1 in 25 women get sick or die because of these drugs. And so partial birth abortion is on the ballot in 10 states because of that issue 1 that they passed in Ohio, which eliminated in Michigan and Ohio all of the laws that we've worked 50 years so hard to pass because people did not listen. And we did everything we could to try to explain. Don't be stupid this time, folks out there listening. Vote no on issue 1. Vote no on issue 1. Eric Holder is behind this. It does exactly the opposite of what they're telling you in that commercial. Remember, Saul Alinsky, rules for radicals. Accuse your opponent of what you are doing to create confusion and to inculcate voters against evidence of your own guilt. In other words, lie through your teeth. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.